One of the things to celebrate on this day is how so much of American culture has retold the Dr. King story of seeking social justice. Jazz, pop music, hip-hop poetry, and the unforgettable voice of this woman who moved in all of those circles.
I'm the best that ever done it.
Pow, pow.
That's my title and I want it.
Pow, pow.
I ain't lying, I'm the best.
Pow, pow.
Come and put me to the test.
Pow, pow.
I've seen them.
The late Maya Angelou. On an album released late last year shortly after she died. It was her last project, a fusing of music, hip-hop, her own voice, and her beloved, powerful words. A project she worked on for more than 7 years. Colin Johnson is Maya Angelou's grandson and founder of Caged Bird Legacy, which aims to continue the life work of Maya Angelou. Colin retains powerful memories of his grandmother's life and work, and especially her love of words.
She won just as a child. She used to embed in me the power of the choice of words and word selection. She was a steward of the language and really held close to that. But then the recorded word, especially her having that the unique voice that she had, she understood the power and what it could really do.
It is time for parents to teach young people early on that in diversity there's beauty and there is strength.
I note the obvious differences in the human family. Some of us are serious. Some thrive on comedy. Some declare their lives are lived as true profundity. And others claim they really live the real reality.
That voice is amazing. Anybody else in your family have that?
My dad has a very deep voice. I've always, as a young child, I was, always hoped that my voice would drop like his. I still have not gotten it, and I think I might have to give up that hope.
Those long vowels that just stay with you, that don't quit, even though she's barely breathing, is just really something else.
Yeah.
I've not seen any two who really were the same. Mirror twins are different, although their features jive. And lovers think quite different thoughts while lying side by side.
I think she was a master of the language, and both holding for pause and pregnant pauses and flowing and sometime break into song and come back to normal voice. She really, I think, utilized all different elements of communication to really convey her message. So it wasn't just about the words, it was the delivery and just her ability to communicate a message is unmatched in many areas.
One of the most, surprising interviews that I ever heard with her was when she talked about Tupac Shakur and his influence and his, you know, transmission of the oral tradition of African-American culture. And it made me think, you know, what was she like as a grandmother? Because grandmothers are noted for I know the rules, and you will not step out of those rules in my presence. But she also had this sense of what was new and fresh.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that she definitely did not get stuck in, you know, a paradigm and was unable to shift and learn. But growing up in her home, absolutely understood that people are going to be people. And her being really a citizen of the world, traveling as much and having friends from all different walks in life and countries and languages and religions, she had an appreciation for the diversity that is humanity. And so I don't think that she really kind of segmented herself to kind of one way of thinking. One of the things that I always loved that she said is she says, I am a human. Anything human cannot be foreign to me.
Did you ever spend any time around her dinner table and just sort of gaze at the people who were present?
Oh, yeah. I have been amazed. She was a phenomenon. And so to sit around the table sometimes where you have people of all different types of power, from celebridum to political to business, I tell most folks there's almost nobody I haven't met. Nobody. The list is infinite. Even everything from family, friends, just to acquaintances. But obviously, you know, even like a Nick Ashford and a Valerie Simpson, you know, just to sit around and listen to their stories, to be able to have private time with the president of Barack Obama, to have private time with a Secretary Clinton or, you know, President Clinton. Those conversations, you just can't, not too many people get that opportunity to have not just the formal pictures, which I have all of those, but also just a casual conversation about anything from news, the weather, or the latest baseball game.
I can imagine it was a pretty high level of conversation there. But as you describe it, I can also imagine Maya Angelou saying, Toni Morrison, could you get the mayonnaise out of the refrigerator there?
Oh, and look, everybody pitched in Grandma's house, okay? Everybody pitched in. So if it was picking up a plate and taking it to the kitchen, even though Grandma had, you know, staff and other things like that, she didn't look at it as in a kind of, you know, you're here to serve and you're not a real person. Everybody was treated with dignity and respect, last names only, obviously, for some folks. And she kind of took away the veil of hierarchy and power and kind of brought people down to, you know, let's just connect. Let's just communicate.
In the air, now both feet down. Since you're black, don't stick around. Food is gone, rent is due. Cuss and cry, and then jump too. All the people's out of work. Hold for three, now twist and jerk. Cross the line, they count you out. But that's what Hoppin's all about. Both feet flat, the game is done. They think I lost, I think I won.
Harlem Hopstop.
What is she mixing there in terms of the kind of vernacular she's using, the rhythm she's using, and what she's talking about?
Yeah, I think that one, Harlem, obviously, you know, from the Harlem Renaissance and other things, she grew up during a period of time in Harlem that Harlem had this flair about it. And I think that Harlem's really definitely still always has had that flair, but it's really kind of come back in a whole new way now. But really speaking to some of the history of Harlem and the history of African Americans in that area, that's one of my favorite songs on it. It's a fun song. And but if you listen to it, it really has a lot of history in it as well.
This album came out late last year, but it was being made as she passed. Did you have an impression that she understood that time was running out as this album was being made, as this project was maybe her last?
I don't know that she recognized that, but I think that she did. She put her heart into every project, and she wasn't going to agree to do something and then do it halfway. So I think that this particular project, in its development, it was actually been in development for a very long time, even prior to its launching, for years. But her involvement in it, I think she really wanted to really convey something within it, just like everything else she's done, just doing it 100%.
So in your view and based on your experience with her, your grandmother went gently into the good night.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Without question. I think she left a very strong family behind. And while we cry and mourn for her, the reality is that she left us with such a gift. And I know that she brought me to this point and let me off at exactly the point I needed to be.
Colin Johnson, thanks so much.
Hey, I appreciate it, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Colin Johnson is Dr. Maya Angelou's grandson and founder of Caged Bird Legacy, which continues the life work of Maya Angelou.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.